Going, so I thought I'd try to do what I could real quick here. It's great to be with each of you in Baton Rouge again. And I understand we've got Wetumpka, Alabama back there, maybe even a couple other states through this fancy internet stuff you all do there. Romans chapter 3, please. It was funny, yesterday we started out in Austin and stopped in Houston, met with some friends we hadn't seen in a while. But now, we're here in Baton Rouge with you. And it made me think also, listening to Christy over here back in some Montgomery, Alabama days, when she and Bart were there. And Christy would have a habit of singing a song and just totally change everything I was prepared to teach. But now, here we are in Baton Rouge doing the same thing. So interesting, that "but now" stuff that kind of changes things, doesn't it? Romans chapter 3. I guess I better turn there too. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. "But now." And that's why I start off with a few examples of "but now." Two pretty important words in your King James Bible. "But now." 3:21. Actually, let me get rid of these glasses here. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We okay? Okay, great. So, "but now," something drastically different. We woke up this morning, especially since daylight savings, it's still pretty dark in the morning when you wake up. But now, you know, the sun's just shining away, and away it goes. You know, last week it was pretty daggone toasty in Texas. I bet it was pretty warm here in Louisiana also. But now it's a little cool, so kind of nice. But drastic changes. But now, here we are clear in the book of Romans, Paul using a term, "but now," the righteousness of God without the law. Something drastically different, because prior to the book of Romans, the law was very much an instrumental part of people I'm going to use the term gaining favor with God Almighty. Of course, we know today with the term we'll use today in this dispensation, "but now" in this dispensation, we'll call it being saved. We're saved today without the law. But until Paul revealed that here in Romans, that was not yet true. It was not yet revealed. Okay, it was something new. Something new. And so the message I like to deliver to each of you today, and I'll even point to the internet here. Each one of us has the opportunity to be a teacher. Don't worry, you're not going to have to come up here if you don't want to. Okay, but each one of us, in one form or fashion, does have a role of being a teacher. Maybe it's mama with two great kids, and it's great seeing how three great but now they have three. Okay, when I knew her before she had any. It's so great that we each have opportunities like that, don't we? Teaching, if it's teaching those children, and what greater role does a mother have in teaching those children? There is no greater occupation, no more important occupation in this entire world than teaching those children, bringing them up in the way of the Lord. Absolutely. Husbands, their role with their wives, their wives with our families. We all have roles. We're all teachers. We're all you don't have to come behind a formal pulpit to preach, to proclaim the Word of God. Each one of us has opportunities to do that, whether that's children, whether that's neighbors down the street, whether that, you know, next weekend is Easter. A lot of relatives will be getting together for that holiday. So we have opportunities to proclaim the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. You know, it's interesting, if you do a word search, okay, there's a great program. Jamie, there's a great program that you can get, and it's free. It's called eSword.net. And it's a great program to have on your phone, to have on your laptop at home, your computer at home, and it's free. And it comes with King James, preloaded, and it has all these other versions you can also put in there if you like to compare how do different versions word things. But you can do word searches. And if you search the phrase, I'll just put it here. If you put in these three words, Gospel of Christ, turn to Romans chapter 1. We're in Romans 3 right there. Romans chapter 1, just a page to your left should be. Starting in verse 15, Paul says, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Whenever you see the term gospel, always ask yourself, which gospel is the writer referring to? Because there are many different gospels throughout your Bible. So always ask yourself, which gospel? So in verse 15, where he says he's ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, being good students of the Bible, you're going to ask, which gospel? Thank you, class. We're learning. Well, let's try the next verse, 16, and see if he tells us which gospel. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, there you go. There's no missing which gospel he's talking about. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. "For it is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Okay, gospel of Christ. Wrote it up here, gospel of Christ. So when you go to esor.net, and you can go to word search, and you type in these three words, gospel of Christ, and then you select a little drop-down menu there, and it says the exact phrase. So it's not just gospel and then the word of somewhere in the verse and the word Christ somewhere in the verse, because that'll pull up a lot of others. But if you get the exact phrase, gospel of Christ, you're going to see it show up 11 times in your King James Bible. And guess what? All 11 times are right in here in the books of Romans through Philemon. Of course, on our timeline, in case you're new on the internet, on our timeline, we start with Genesis back here. We go through Malachi. It's called the Old Testament period of about 4,000 years from Adam. I'll just say from Adam until the birth of Christ, approximately 4,000 years. And we have the birth of Christ here. We have Matthew. We have the four Gospels, Mark, Luke, John, then picks up the book of Acts. After Acts comes Romans to Philemon, Hebrews through Revelation to complete your Bible in the order written. And this term, gospel of Christ, will show up 11 times, and it's only in Romans through Philemon. You never see it in the book of Acts. You never see it prior in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll never see it in Hebrews through Revelation. Wow. Of course, we call that many times, and I've already botched up my timeline here. Times past, but now, and things to come. Much like we were starting here at the beginning. Yesterday, we were in Texas. But now, we're here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And in the times to come, we'll be back in Texas, Lord willing, late tonight. Okay, but now, or times past, but now things to come, and that's where I was going. I knew I was botching it there. Things to come. We'll be back in Texas, Lord willing, and actually things to come even further in the future, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I hope everybody will be part of the things to come right here in this Bible conference, and Kim and I look forward to coming back and joining you at that time as well. Great conference. We were just saying, boy, it's the first time I think we've walked from the car to here, and Kim actually had to stop and put her sweater on. We're not used to that in Baton Rouge the times we come here. Okay, so things change, and we all have opportunities to be a teacher, and we need to help people understand that things progress, that doctrine progresses through this Bible. And what's interesting is there's some great examples. Even through Paul, we'll see some things change. And so let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 18, Acts chapter 18. And there's some good examples for us here. I want you to watch this gentleman that we're going to get introduced to here in Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24. And your Bible says, and a certain Jew, what religion was he? Okay, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. Watch how the Bible describes him now. He's an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Stop reading. Look up. Don't read. And we will come back and get the context. Don't ever let a teacher take anything out of context, but we're stopping for a reason right here. Okay, he's a Jew. Does he know the Scriptures? Does he know them well? Is he an eloquent man? Absolutely to all of those. All right. Now watch, if we go back, maybe in, let's get this in context, but let's start in 24 again. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Skip, go to verse 26, and began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He's speaking boldly in front of the synagogue, right? Now, what is he preaching? The end of verse 25, knowing only the baptism of John. Interesting phrase to be inserted right there in the middle of all this. He's a mighty teacher. He's in front of the entire synagogue, and he's preaching, but he knows only, end of verse 25, knowing only the baptism of John. 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him. And watch this next phrase, do not miss it, please. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I thought the man was eloquent, mighty in the Scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord. Was he not? Did your Bible not just say that in verse 25 and verse 26? Absolutely. But yet, two people named Aquila and Priscilla, as it says unto him here, the end of verse 26, and expounded unto him, this mighty man, eloquent speaker, who's in front of the synagogue, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Do not miss this, because he knew only the baptism of John. How many people today, being Sunday morning right now, are living in the red letters? You got to follow the red letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They need teachers like you to come along and expound the way of God unto them more perfectly. We don't know what we don't know. Somebody has to teach us. How about Aquila and Priscilla? How did they learn the way of God more perfectly? Let's just back up in verse 8 and chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila. We're getting introduced to him. Here we go. Born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Okay, there's Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. Watch the parentheses, another great Bible lesson. You know, when you're being a student of the Bible, parentheses are there for a reason, to make something stand out. Make sure I come back to Ephesians 2 parentheses, please. To make things stand out, watch these parentheses. Seems like pretty insignificant. Because of Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, for some reason, that needs to be set apart. Why? It's just one more proof that the book of Romans is written to Gentiles. All the Jews were told to leave. Isn't that what the parentheses just said? Okay, make no mistake. Romans, the book of Romans is written to Gentiles. Of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir in here, but so for you on the internet, make no mistake. Okay, and came unto them, and because he was, verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, so this is Paul coming unto Aquila and Priscilla, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul, I'll just say, hooks up with this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. He abodes with them, okay, and he's teaching them the way of God more perfectly. He's expounding the word more perfectly because he has further revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I mean, there's not a better teacher in the world, is there? A better way to get this. So Aquila and Priscilla, they get this. They get 2 Timothy 2:2, the principles there. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Okay, put yourself in that verse. And ladies, go ahead and put yourself in there too. Okay, you have plenty of people you teach. You teach some of the other women on the street. And again, the kids in particular. We need our kids learning this Bible for sure. Amen. Thank you. I did hear many, but just for the sake of the camera, just wanted a little emphasis on the right syllable in that case. All right, because it's important. It really it really is. Matter of fact, like I say, it doesn't get much more important than that. So here's Paul. 2 Timothy is the principles of 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy, the very last book that Paul wrote that became Scripture. 2 Timothy. And yet here it is, back here in Acts 18, before the book of Romans is even written, and we see this principle going right here. And that's why we ourselves should just be taking this in, and just remember, this is our role. Why doesn't the Lord take us the day we're saved? Why doesn't he just take us out of here right then? He leaves us here for a purpose, for a reason, and that is to proclaim the glorious gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. Okay? Our friends need to know. Our neighbors need to know. Okay? They need to know that the baptism of John is old doctrine. That's times past. But now something's different, as we saw in Romans chapter 3. But now, and not until but now, the righteousness without the law is manifested. But now, this, when Paul wrote that in Romans, he wrote that 20 to 25 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it's just now being manifested in Romans 3. Wow. That goes against Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the red letters. Yeah, just read it. I mean, it doesn't, if you let the word say what they say, it's not tough to see. There's something very different. It's called times past. It's called but now. And yes, it's going to change again in the future. It's called things to come. And we don't want to be part of, you wouldn't want to be part of that 7-year period of great tribulation. All right, I mean, it's hell on earth. Okay, so Paul's, we have examples back here. Paul tells us the same, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. We're teaching others to teach others to teach others. I thank God every day for Brother Moore, Brother Jerry Lockhart, and the decades that we had learning under the two of them, studying this King James Bible under the two of them. Quick commercial. So butnow.info is the website we use. And Brother Gary Simpson in Dallas, in Arlington, Texas, spent 14 years converting Brother Moore's audio tapes to digital format so we could put them on butnow.info, and there's 40 years worth of Brother Moore's audio teachings there. Now, you can Google on YouTube, or not Google on YouTube, but you can search on YouTube and find Brother Moore's videos, the 30-minute videos that he did on TVs. Okay? But so quick commercial there for buttnow.info. Whenever you can, great way to start the day if you have time in the day. If you don't have time to start the day, maybe it's a great way to finish the day. Maybe it's just the week. Whenever you can, I'll tell you what, we've actually been going, so we have it, Brother Moore's teachings segmented like by year, by topic, so a lot of different ways you can search. But one of the things we've been doing lately is going back to the late 70s and early 80s. And it's like, wow, the things he was teaching then could be preached here today. And not a thing's changed. One of those things, you know, here we are in a year of a political race. Don't worry, don't think I'm going to get political on you. Never know where it goes, right? But you hear all the rhetoric going already and going, oh, man, what in the world? Where's this world going, right? And Brother Moore saying, you know, what bothers me is not so much what's happening in the world, but people's reaction to it. Do they really think they can change prophecy? Wow, kind of puts things in perspective. There are things that just have to happen. There are things that will happen because we cannot change prophecy. That being said, so anyway, the things he was preaching then just as pertinent as they would be right here in the year 2016. And buy back that time, redeem that time, and take those opportunities to study every chance you have. Okay, so teaching being the subject, you have opportunities to A, be taught. That's why you're sitting here today. But if you do nothing with what you're taught, of what value is it? You know, if a kid goes to school and if he goes to medical, goes through college, goes to medical school to become a doctor, and then he even specializes in brain surgery. Well, if he never takes what he learns and opens up a practice to be a brain surgeon, of what value is all those years and years and years of learning and late nights and the labs that he would have to have gone to and learning his practice, learning his trade? It'd be of no value, right? He knew a lot about it, but nobody got the benefit from all those years. How many years have you been studying? I'll look at the camera. How many years have you been studying? All right. I saw some people getting nervous maybe. No, but we need to do something with it. We need to do something with it. Okay? Expound the way of God unto people more perfectly. They don't know what they don't know. How about you? Let's go right back to the day of salvation. How many of us didn't know we were lost until we got lost? How many of us were maybe sitting in a big tent revival even, and somebody says, when was the day you got lost? Or they may have started when was the day you got saved? And maybe a bunch of us think, well, I remember the day I walked an aisle. I remember a day I got baptized. I remember a day when. When did you get saved? And then they go on to say, well, wait a minute, when did you get lost? Because maybe you can't come up with a day of salvation because you never saw yourself as a lost sinner doomed for hell. Romans chapter 3, where we started. Romans chapter 3. Actually, let's grab one verse that we did read already, 3:23, for how many have sinned? And all means it always has and it always will. There's no fooling with that word. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. But, the gift. And gift is exactly what it is, as Christy sang here earlier. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back to Romans 3, coming back to this day you get lost. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I love hearing Brian Sipes teach this passage. So let's do the Brian Sipes version. As it is written, there is none righteous. And in case any of you think that doesn't apply to you, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. And in case you still don't think that applies to you, no, not one. When is the day that you understood there never had been a day when you saw yourself as lost and looked back at the cross, as Christy sang about, and when he shed his blood to pay the penalty, not just for our sins, for your sins, took your sins to hell, and on the third day, God the Father raised him for your justification. I remember the night I got saved, July 5th, 1983. Three men in a row preached that, and I said, well, wait a minute, I'm going back to like two or three. I walked the aisle two or three times in my past. Times past, right? Times past. But now that night, so even though it's times past, that night, as we're there that night, put yourself, July 5th, 1983. But now, I realize I never had a day that I simply trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized I was lost. We all got to get lost before we can get saved. We had dinner the other day with a young couple and asked the young man, as Barry Hampton question, where's Christy and Bart, right? The Barry Hampton question, if you died tonight, where would you go? How sure are you that you'd go there? And why would you go there? The young man, I'd go to heaven. I'm 100% sure. Really? Not 99? Nope. I'm 100. I said, great, because if you're 99% sure, you probably aren't going there. Because you don't understand that he died for how many of your sins? All. And all means? It always has and it always will. And then he said, okay, so why are you going to go there? Man, I've been a pretty good guy. I treat my fellow man right. I try to do these things for certain people, not do those things, and you just go, wrong answer. Now, praise the Lord, gives you doors of utterance to preach the gospel. But that's how you know, yes, we're to judge people by the words that they say, not by the actions we see, just like with Paul. Don't follow what you see Paul do in the book of Acts. Follow what you see him write as doctrine in Romans to Philemon. Okay, same thing with people. No, we can't judge what they're doing, but we can judge their testimony, and we should judge their testimony based on the words that they give us as to why, you know, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Great. You're 100% sure? Great. Why are you going to spend eternity with him? Why should he allow you to spend eternity with him? And if they give any answer like I just gave you, like this young man, go right to Romans 3, right? There's how many good? None. No, not him either. And I'm not making light of that by any means. But people need to understand that, don't they? They need to be taught. And not only that, it's the right way to salvation, because there are many ways to salvation throughout this Bible. And no, you don't get to pick. It's not like a roadmap today. Matter of fact, when we were coming over here yesterday, apparently the last several days, the interstate right there at the Texas-Louisiana line has been closed. Or I-10 anyway, has been closed. Well, the good news is you can get a map out and look for another way to get there. It may take another 8 hours to go clear up to 20, you know, up there between Dallas and Shreveport, and then come back down. But it'll get you there. Not so with salvation in the year 2016. And we just put that out here somewhere. We don't know where that is on the timeline. But in the year 2016, there is one way to be saved. And it's the way Paul started in Romans 1, 15 and 16. It's the, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. of Christ. Thank you. For it is the power of God unto salvation that everyone that believeth. The gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised again the third day for our justification. Ephesians chapter 1. And thanks for the reminder on Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, I'm going to grab the end of verse 12 to get our context, which is who first trusted in Christ. So the context here is trusting in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? In verse 13, in whom ye, and anybody listening to this message, as long as the rapture of the church has not yet happened, and the body of Christ has been called out of here, which is the next event in prophecy to occur, as long as that has not yet happened and you hear this message preached, you can put your name in there. In who ye, Jim, Sally, Barb, anybody else, everybody else, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? That is the sequence of salvation right there. You hear the gospel. Which gospel? Gospel of Christ. Thank you. You hear the gospel of Christ preached. It's proclaimed by someone somewhere. You hear it. You believe the words of the gospel. You believe he died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification. And then you trust in that and that alone. You're saved. And according to that verse, not only are you saved, you are sealed. And how long? Ephesians 4:30 would tell you, unto the day of redemption is how long you're sealed. The day of redemption, right there. Nothing you can do to gain your salvation. Nothing you can do to lose your salvation. You are sealed. You are saved. You are sealed. Praise the Lord for it. Probably would have lost it three times on the way over here this morning, right? Okay, four. Once again, don't mean to make light of that, but praise the Lord for dying. Colossians 2:13, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many? And all means always has, always will. Beat it to death. Yep, I sure will. Praise the Lord for it. Ephesians chapter 2. Remember the parentheses? Times past, but now things to come. Even while Paul was writing, there was a times past, but now things to come. Yes, things changed for Paul, especially during this period, the book of Acts. Okay, there are many people today that are trying to put the kingdom church into the body of Christ. You can't do that. They're trying to put Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 into the body of Christ. You can't do that. That was times past. Then there was but now. There's things to come. Ephesians 3 absolutely is the key to seeing those groups. And make sure you see it right here. We just listened to Brother Moore the other day and it was the same subject. So here it is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, at the end, notice the parentheses, by grace ye are saved, end of parentheses. Now that's a simple little phrase. It's in parentheses for some reason. For what reason? He sure wanted it to stand out, but why? So let's take a few minutes. Just like this guy, Apollos, an eloquent man in the scriptures, learned in the scriptures, preaching in front of the synagogue, but he was preaching old doctrine. Somebody had to teach him the way of God more perfectly, your Bible said earlier, right? We have people today that need to have the word of God expounded unto them more perfectly. Okay? And what Peter and the 12 preached, jump ahead to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause, for what cause? Chapters 1 and chapter 2. For that cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Okay, we are in the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians is all about it, but Ephesians 3 is what's revealing this to us. Verse 3 now. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. This whole thing is a mystery. Once again, parentheses, as I wrote afore in a few words, chapters 1 and 2. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is when revealed? Now revealed. Now literally being when he's writing this, okay, which is just after Acts 28, a prison epistle, is when he's revealing this. As it is now revealed unto his glory, or unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel? You need to go back now. You as students and on the internet as students, you need to go back and figure out for yourself. Keep your hand here. Go back to Acts 17 real quick. Acts 17. And keep your hand there. Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 12 says, therefore many of them believed. Whenever you see the word gospel, you ask yourself, which gospel? When, as a Bible student, whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself, why for? Therefore many of them believed. Why for did many of them believe? Verse 11. They received the word with, in the middle, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. Why does Brother Jerry Lockhart call his church Berean Bible Church? Why did Brother E.C. Moore call his church Berean Bible Church? Many will call him Grace Bible Church. It's that principle right there. Verse 10, this is the Bereans we're talking about. That's the principle. Do not ever take what you hear preached from a pulpit from wherever. Do not take it as the absolute truth until, you know, receive it with readiness of mind, but search the scriptures daily, and until you see it, until you're confident that what you heard taught is in fact in the scriptures, then you believe it, then you take it. As it says, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. But do not take it until you see it clearly in the scriptures. Okay? Okay, now back to Ephesians chapter 3. So verse 6 in Ephesians 3, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Don't let people try to make that Jew and Gentile. That's where we get into these issues with the 12 being part of the body. Cornelius being part of the body. Who are the groups to be fellow heirs? Who are the groups to be of the same body here? Well, it's chapters 1 and chapters 2. That's why, go back now again to Ephesians 2, verse 5, the end had in parentheses, by grace ye are saved. Well, who's ye? Always get yourself in the context. Okay, now let's go back to chapter 1, verse 12. So Paul's writing this book of Ephesians back to the Ephesians, all right, the church at Ephesus. He went to that church more than any other church during the book of Acts. He went there in Acts 18, 19, 20. Three trips we have documented in your book of Acts. All right, three times he goes back to Ephesus. Matter of fact, that's where we were reading with Aquila and Priscilla. He even leaves them in Ephesus. All right, they're the ones teaching, expounding the word of God. The way of God is the way the Bible said, unto Apollos more perfectly. Okay, so Paul's there three times. While during the book of Acts, every time he's going Where did he have to go first when he went into a new city? The synagogue. Thank you. Every single time. Real quick, back, keep a hand here. Acts, let's start in Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 1, and we're going to go through quickly here. The end of it. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Coming ahead, verse 10, where we were just reading almost. Okay, they went into the end of it, Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Let's keep coming ahead. Chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Come ahead to verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. That's Aquila and Priscilla, by the way. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Okay, come ahead, chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Okay, so you see, Paul is always going during that time, into the synagogue every time he goes. Remember, the promise to Abraham is still in place. He's got to go to the Jew first. So that's what's going on in the book of Acts. The book of Ephesians now, back to Chapter 1. So Paul writes back. He's been there 3 times. And we're just going to make this Acts 18, Acts 20. Again, this is 20, 25 years after the crucifixion. Okay? 3 times Paul comes here. Now, verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. You're introduced to a group here called we who first trusted in Christ. Okay, 3 times Paul's there and you have that group. And I'm going to put a circle as a body of believers here. Oh, sorry, but I need to keep something straight. Because this is Acts 28. And then we have the dispensation, the grace of God, which begins after Acts 28, okay? So in here, I'll just put first. Who first trusted in Christ? Acts 18, 19, 20, the 3 times he's there, the group that first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right, now verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. He heard of it. Now he was there 3 times. During the book of Acts. He knew those people well. Okay? But the people he's writing this book to, he heard of it. So these weren't part of the people who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 said, in whom ye also trusted, right? Verse 13, chapter 1, 13, in whom ye also trusted. Now, the key is this, and we're going to do just a little bit, but I implore you, I beseech you, brethren and sisters, okay, please go back and really study this through if you're thinking that the 12, if you're thinking that Cornelius is in the body of Christ. Go back and look at who is the we who first trusted in Christ. Is that the Jews? Or is that the Gentile believers that were in Ephesus when Paul went there in Acts 18, 19, and 20? And there could be Jews also. But it's not the Kingdom Church Jews that some people will try to do that with Ephesians chapter 3. No, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 clearly settle it for you. Okay, so Watch the pronouns. I'm actually going to come up here with this. So verse 12, that we should be to the praise who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Two groups here. Okay, verse 15, after I heard of your faith, see, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you. Okay, I'm gonna jump way ahead now. Let's start in chapter 2, verse 1. And you out here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, remember time past, but now things to come, wherein in time past, like when I was there in Acts 18, 19, and 20, wherein in those times, in times past, verse 1, or verse 2, ye walked according to the course of this world. Remember they're worshiping the great goddess Diana? Remember all that back there? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, everybody before they were saved, we all, verse 3, had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, we're in a election year, and boy, do you see the wisdom of the founders, the writers of our U.S. Constitution. They understood that phrase right there. They were by nature. The founders of our Constitution understood the nature of man. If there's been one constant in the last 6,000 years, it's the nature of man. Amen? The end of verse 3, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, both of us, he loved us, even when we, both of us, were dead in sins, hath quickened us, both of us, together, quickened us together with Christ, parentheses, by grace ye are saved, not we are saved. He did not say, by grace we are saved. He said, by grace ye are saved, and he put it in parentheses to make it set apart. Don't miss it. He couldn't make it any more clear. End of parentheses, verse 6, and hath made us, we who first trusted, and ye who also trusted, has made us sit together, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And verse 8, great one, for by grace we are saved. Thank you. Don't you dare ever let somebody misquote your Bible from up here, because words matter, especially the two-letter words. It does not say, for by grace are we saved. It says, for by grace are ye saved. Ye who also trusted. Paul did not include himself in that. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, not ye, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we, both groups, should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember that we, being in time past? No, ye. Once again, he's separating the two groups. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye who also trusted, ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, Acts 18, 19, 20, when I was there three different times for many years, the one time I was there 3 years, that at that time, verse 12, ye were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's why he went to the Jew first back in the book of Acts. He went to the synagogue first. These people weren't there. They're just like those of us in this room. We're not in a synagogue to hear the word of God preached more perfectly. You can't hear it in a synagogue today preached more perfectly. That's times past. Verse 12, Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, another one of those keys, but now, something drastic changes in your Bible. In time, we crossed this time period. We're now into the dispensation of the grace of God. And verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, ye who sometimes were far off. The Word of God more perfectly for us in the year 2016 is that people just like us never had to go align ourselves with Israel to hear the gospel of Christ preached. That's a change. As much of a change as at 6:30 this morning, it was dark as could be outside, but now the sun is shining, it's light as can be out there. It's a drastic change. And there are things to come sometime tonight after 7 o'clock. Sun's going to go down, it's going to get dark again. It'll be another drastic change. But now, it's bright and shiny out there. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, ye, not we who sometimes were afar off, ye, he's separating the group still, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is your peace? No. Verse 14, he is our peace, both of us again. Go back and study this through, the we's, the ye's, or the we who first trusted, the ye who also trusted, and then when he combines the groups, as he does here in the next one, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, both, ye, we who first trusted, and ye who also trusted. He's made them both one. He's made us both one. How did he do that? Verse 14, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Here's the us's. It's not Jew and Gentile. It's we who first trusted, ye who also trusted. There's a middle wall between us. We're not going to do it now because of time. Go back to Acts 15 and Acts 16. See those four ordinances placed on Paul and the group that we who first trusted, that they had to live by. That's ordinances. These people thought they're a little better than these people because they kept those four ordinances. Not that anybody today in this day and age that goes to certain buildings on certain Sunday mornings and think they're better than others because they don't this and they don't that and they don't, and boy, they're in church every Sunday and every Wednesday night and anytime the doors are open, and therefore they think they're a little better. How many in Romans 3 were good? And in case they don't think that's them, it says no, not one. Okay? Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both, and that is this group and that group, he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And the enmity was what? The ordinances contained in commandments, right? That was between these two groups. It's not Jew and Gentile. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, as I told you were back there in verses 11 and 12, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, fellow citizens with these saints right here, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also, not we also, ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit for this cause. Everything you just read right there. That's what this is about, gang. That's it right there. It is Go back and look. Every place Paul went, not just Ephesus, Corinth, he goes to the synagogue first. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Absolutely. He tells us 17 times. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. The biggest reason we study all this and differentiate all this, and thanks for letting me go a little bit over time, is because of the term I erased already, the gospel of Christ, that only shows up in Romans to Philemon, because it's the only way to salvation today in the year 2016. You cannot believe anything else. You cannot be, sincere in what he believes. You can be sincerely wrong, and that's you end up spending eternity in the wrong place. You can be as sincere as you want about what you believe, but if it's not in accordance with the Scriptures, as Paul lays them out in Romans to Philemon, and the gospel of Christ in particular, that we will, one more, go to Galatians chapter 1, the very first book that Paul wrote, because this happens all day long in this country, especially today being a Sunday. Galatians chapter 1, the very first book that Paul writes that becomes Scripture, time-wise. Paul writes this, and right after his introduction, the first thing he says in chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel, now that's an interesting word, marvel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. These people were saved by the gospel of Christ. And he marvels that they're so soon removed from that and being called unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So they're perverting the gospel of Christ. How do you pervert something? You twist it. You change it. You add a little bit to it. Or you subtract a little bit from it. You change it. You pervert it. You add another work to it. In the context of Galatians, you'll see circumcision being that other religious activity that's an outward sign of an inward faith, if you've ever heard that term. Think about other things today that might be applied with that term. They're adding something to salvation. They're adding something to the gospel of Christ. That's a perversion of the gospel of Christ, according to what Paul writes right here. All right? Don't let people do that. Don't let people do that. We need to be good Bereans ourselves, first of all, to know why we believe what we believe. You've got to see it in this King James Bible. We know that Romans to Philemon is the doctrine to the church, which is the body of Christ. We know that Paul is our apostle. We know that Peter and the 12 were to the Jews. They had a special ministry to the Jews. We know that in things that come, Peter and the 12 are going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We are not the 12 tribes of Israel. We are the church which is the body of Christ. There are people out there today that need to have the way of God expounded unto them more perfectly. Just as Apollos, an eloquent man, learned in the Scriptures, needed somebody that Paul had taught to come and expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's why the Lord leaves us here after he saves us, so that we can go and expound the way of God more perfectly. And especially because it starts with salvation. If they died tonight, the person you're speaking to, if they died tonight, where would they go? Why would they go there? Because we don't know if tonight won't be their last breath on this earth. And that's when it's do or die time. Because they either is or they ain't. They either are saved or they're not. There's no in between. There's no sitting that fence. There's a moment in time when they saw themselves as none good, no, not one, understanding there's nothing they could do to save themselves, and that's the moment that they went from just believing the words of the gospel of Christ to trusting in that and that alone and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, because they realize they're lost and there's nothing they can do to save themselves. They either have that moment in time or they don't. expound the way of God unto them more perfectly, but starts with the gospel of Christ. I thank each and every one of you for being here today. And I know Kim and I look forward to getting back here June 3rd, 4th, and 5th to be with you on that conference. Hey, in the meantime, one more commercial. April 29th, 30th, and May 1st, we're having a conference in Arlington, Texas, between Dallas and Fort Worth. Brother Gary Simpson is putting that on. Brother Jerry Lockhart will be there. Brother Steve Atwood will be there. So if you can come over and join us for a weekend, I'd certainly love to have you there. But I thank you for being here, and next week I believe Brother Mark will be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to come over and be with you here outside of the conference. Thank you.